Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, sure is light tonight. I think the last time I saw this light was probably the last time I preached. I think there's a pattern going on here. I'm just kidding. I know there's a lot of folks that are out on the roads, and we pray for them to be safe. Thank you for that scripture reading. You know, it's kind of when I picture that, you know, God sitting there watching everybody all piled up together, and he's like, go on, scat, scat, scat. And they wouldn't get on out of there, so he made sure that they did. And, you know, that's one of the topics I'm going to be talking about tonight is something that is true to my heart. And I think it should be true to every other Christians in here. And, you know, that topic is communications. I thought of this topic, you know, because we're studying it also in 1 Thessalonians and also 2 Thessalonians. We see that when Paul went over to the, initially started preaching to them, he gave them some words, some information, and they quite didn't take it right. And then he later had to come back and just fix that communication that was done. But that wasn't why I specifically picked this topic. One of the reasons I picked this topic was because my job is at least 80 to 90% communication. Not, you know, as a manager. But, you know, it isn't just my job that's so important. Of course, being a Christian, I think it's even more important to understand communication. Because that is what is going to either separate us or keep us together and also spread God's word. And that's what's so important about it. You know, I think that planning and understanding communication is vital. Absolutely vital. And we're going to talk a little bit about that on why it is so vital and how do we plan a communication. We're going to talk a little bit about how important it is to be able to have communication within our family, within our friends, in our everyday life, within our associates that we talk to, within the brethren here. Communication is vital, and also the entire church and spreading the gospel. We're going to see that success in almost everything we do, or the non-success, is all tied to what? Good communications. And good communications isn't always the ability to stand up here and speak, because if that was the case, I wouldn't be very good at it. And also, it's a work in progress. And what I say is in progress is that it never stops, ever stops. And I pray that I will continue to be a work in progress all the way until the day I die. If not, then I'm stagnant. So that's something we want to think about as we go through this these few minutes going through the different areas and what God wants us to communicate and how he wants us to communicate. There are so many examples in the Bible about communication. And, you know, almost every single trial and tribulation or success is based on what? Communication. Exactly. So when lines of communication break down, the fundamentals break down, what do you think it is that breaks it down? Oops, we'll go too far. A disruption in communication breaks it down. I have so many things going on. I got a computer over here, and I click that, and I think this is supposed to turn, and this one goes. So, anyway, bear with me, because it's all part of what? Communication. Everything is communication. You know, in a disrupted communication, there's two different ways. Neglected and deliberate. Neglected and deliberate communication breakdown. What is worse? What do you think would be worse, neglected or deliberate? Well, I would have to say that neglected is, just personally. Because neglected means that you have something to do and you neglect to do it. Deliberate could be an actual tactic, right? Do we ever hear about it? Can you think of a deliberate tactic of communication breakdown? We just read it, didn't we? Genesis 11, 1 through 9. We see where God saw something going on. And he caused a deliberate misunderstanding, a deliberate breakdown of communication. But the key of it is that he had a specific plan. A lot of times we have a deliberate communication breakdown, and it's really not a good plan. Sometimes we may have a deliberate communication breakdown, and we do it because of what? Anger, malice, a misunderstanding. You know, a misunderstanding could be something as simple as not communicating well, right? And we can see the outcome of that. But, you know, a lot of times, let's back up the card a little bit. When you're talking about communications, it has to do with two things. You have a sender and you have a what? Receiver, exactly. And it takes two things to get a message across. So you as a communicator of that message need to be on guard to see what that receiver does, and you as a receiver have a responsibility also in some cases. To do what? To acknowledge that message, to be able to say, yes, that communication is here. We're going to think about that as we go through some of God's Word, and us as Christians, how do we handle that? How do we do it as a Christian body? How do we do it as a family? How do we do it as an individual Christian talking to your friends and neighbors? So we can see that that's one of the main ingredients. When things aren't going well, it's usually due to a disruption somewhere. And that's what we can do too. When we're sitting there thinking about a communication that has not went through, stop and say, where is that disruption? Is it a matter of just, you know, noise going on? Is it a matter of not being able to hear well? Is the speaker not going good? Did I just misinterpret it? So many different things can happen to there. And that's what we have to be able to understand, that there is a comms that takes place between a sender and a receiver to get that message apart. And when it falls apart, there's a disruption. Think of the disruptions that are going on just in our political party. Wow. They can say the same message, right? And it seems like, did I hear something wrong or what? There's a disruption constantly going back and forth. It is a perfect example of something that is either neglected or in some cases deliberate. And we can see when deliberate communication breakdowns can be harmful. When God does it, He does it with a plan. When we do it, we can do it with malice. And we're going to also figure out some cases where we do deliberate communication breakdowns, even as Christians, that can be good. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So deliberate communications is something that maybe we can put off. We can divide with deliberate communications. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're a father or mother, and your kids may be hanging out with the wrong crowd. There's a communication going on with the wrong crowd. What is a parent going to do? They're going to try to make a disruption somehow, right? Because we want our kids to be godly. We want them to follow God. We want them to follow the patterns of Christians. So we enter into a deliberate type of a communication breakdown. And what can that be? Anything from grounding them, taking something away, communicating with them, explaining why, or just flat out go to a different school. Who knows? There's all kinds of homeschooling. All kinds of different ways that we can do deliberate communication disruptions that are working towards God. So think about that as we're going through this lesson. In that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at communications, whether it be neglect or a deliberate disruption, or one of the things that we also understand is the misunderstanding. What do misunderstandings happen? Anger gets, you know, how many times have you misunderstood what somebody said and got angry? All the time. I mean, it happens to me all the time. And in some cases, you know, heaven forbid, hatred comes in. Or lies, resentment, bitterness. Let's take a look at Colossians. Colossians 3 and 8. And that reads, "But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, and seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices." And this key here is putting off the old self. To put off the old self, that means that you have to be able to change something. You have to disrupt something. If I was going to be a Christian and I was acting the way I did back in my 20s, that'd be a problem, a big problem. I had to put something off. I had to change my communication. I had to change the people I communicated with. All of that is some of the things that cause a misunderstanding or growing apart or falling away. We make choices all the time the way we communicate, the way we listen, the way we hear. We have to remember that. And when it fails, anger, hatred, and lies come around. Christians must communicate to God. You know, this is one of the communication part. There's a few things that we do as Christians that we must communicate. One of them is to God. We must communicate to God all the time. We just do this constantly, and in fact, we should do it constantly. Always, Luke 1 and 18, or 18 and 1, it says, "He told them about a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart." And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, "Pray without ceasing." You know, and that's some of the things that, you know, when we communicate, we have to be able to communicate to our God always. And it doesn't mean continually every single second you're praying, you know, sitting down in a closet praying. Of course not. How do you communicate to God constantly? Sometimes it's just a matter of what we do. We're communicating to God. We'll be able to communicate to God how we act, who we talk, how we talk to people. All of those things are actions. And, you know, Lisa always says this too, actions are, you know, louder than words in a lot of cases. But we need to remember that as Christians, we must communicate to God always. And we also need to be able to go to God in praise and prayer in everything we do. In Philippians 4 and 6, it reads, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to Him, and the peace of God and understanding surpasses all will guard your hearts and minds. So, you know, when it says that, you know, you have to be able to pray and praise in everything we do, just remember that. In everything, we have to go to Him in prayer for others. And it reads in 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for people, for kings, for all things in the high positions. So when we pray to God, we're not just praying for, you know, anything. We also have to pray for certain things, other things. Other things like our kings, our presidents, our governors, all of that. We're praying to God. We're communicating to God on behalf of them. Remember that as we go through life. And, you know, earnestly, vigilantly, and thankfulness, that is the absolute key when we're going to God in prayer. If we're going to God in prayer and we're just praying for ourselves, you know, is that something you want to hear? Even as a parent with kids, is that what you want to hear them asking you for, only that stuff? No. We have to be able to go with an earnest heart and thankful, praying to God for thankfulness in that. We need to be able to communicate the gospel to the lost. Me and Bob were just talking about that a little bit ago. We need to be able to communicate the gospel to the lost. We need to be able to make disciples. And that's one of the keys is the communication that I was talking about. It's very important that I communicate at my work. But you know what? It's more important that I actually communicate to make disciples. Disciples, to be able to communicate that and to be able to enlighten them and effectively impart that gospel in their lives. Let's take a look at the make disciples. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded. You know, we have a great responsibility to communicate that. God set that word out, but you know who else is going to be able to teach it? Us. We have to go out to all nations to be able to do that. So communications, we need to be able to teach the gospel to the lost to make disciples, and also enlighten them. Enlighten them, it says, to me, in Ephesians 3 and 8, to me, although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring the light to everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden in the ages of God who created all things? So we're almost like the light bearer, if I think of that, is that, you know, we have this great message. And we were talking about this also. You know, a lot of times we have a great message and we always want to tell everybody about it. But is that the message of God? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we're better at talking about things we really love. So what does that mean if we really love something more than God and we're not communicating it? What holds us back from that? What do you think that would be? Possibly a fear of the knowledge you don't have, right? So if let's say, for instance, I was into making pots out of clay. I just made that up. Right? And, you know, I was really getting good at it, and I started getting excited, and I started to make all kinds of good things. You know what? I'm going to start talking about it more, isn't I? It's only natural. But sometimes we, as Christians, don't communicate that gospel to the lost because we aren't really alike yet. We have to work and study about it to be able to be good at talking about something. We can talk about certain things all day long. But when it comes to the gospel, can we really communicate that? I'm guilty of it. You got to study it more. And sometimes it's small pieces. It doesn't mean you have to be able to know the Bible end to end, does it? No, you have to be able to figure out your audience. Isn't that part like communications 101? Okay, here's Mike over here. You know, he's talking about the second coming or something. You know, just, you know, who knows what it is. and I'm sitting right here. Okay, yeah. There's my audience right there. I go home, I study, I understand it, and I have something to talk to him about. That's part of communication. That is effective communication. Because we as Christians need to do what? We need to be able to enlighten them. If we're not enlightening them, we're not doing what Christians do. How about effective imparting the gospel? Effectively imparting the gospel. In Colossians 4 and 6, it says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open doors up for us to declare the mystery of Christ, in the account of which I am in prison, that I will make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You know, I'm going to read that again. I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards others, making the best use of time, and letting your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Wow, isn't that something? We need to be able to let our speech always be gracious. You know, that's difficult in itself, how to effectively impart the gospel to people. Because, you know, if we're just nasty and mean all the time, you think anybody's going to want to sit and talk to us? Probably not. So anyway, we as Christians must be able to communicate the gospel to the lost. We also have to be able to communicate it to each other. Communicate the gospel to each other. Wait a second, I thought we were supposed to go out. What? No, we're also supposed to communicate it to each other with purity, grace, without duplicity and double dealings, and also with unity of spirit. You know, why is it so important to be able to communicate it to each other? Why do you think that is? Well, I would have to say that if I'm going to communicate the gospel, and I'm actually learning as well, who better to communicate it to than this folks out here? You will never get a more understanding audience than I have out in front of me, right? So, you know, and that's one of the reasons, of course, that's a little bit, I guess, selfish on my part, because I want to be able to communicate it to each other back and forth. But, you know what, I have to get out there and also preach to the world where it's going to be a little bit more difficult. So at that point, I have to be a little stronger, I have to learn and understand a little bit more, and also come back to each other and get some advice. If I'm having a problem with somebody at work, you know what, I may be asking one of you all to sit there and say, what do you think about that? How should I address this? You know, and then that's the kind of stuff that we have to do when we work with each other. But, you know, when we also work with each other and communicate, we have to be able to do it with a purity and grace without double dealings. Well, what does that mean? Let's read this. Let's see if we can figure this out. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt talking come out of your mouth, but only such is good for building up. So first of all, we need to be able to make sure that when it's building up. And also, it's not corrupt talk come out of our mouth. We can come and have disagreements. And a lot of times those disagreements will make us stronger. But it shouldn't be corrupt, and it shouldn't be just for the good of building each other up. And also, it has to fit all occasions, or fit occasions. What does that mean, a fitting occasion? You know, when you communicate with somebody, timing is everything, right? Timing is everything in what you do. And sometimes, have you ever went and heard somebody say something, and boy, you just didn't like it, right? I don't like that, what they said. You storm off and you go, and it's a brethren. Well, you know what? It has to be able to be timed right. And you go back into your house and say, you know what I should have did? I should have said this. I should have said that. Timing is everything. And it needs to be able to fit the situation you're at. And it has to be done with for the good of building up. That's exactly what the Ephesians are saying. For the good of building up. That's what we have to have. Purity and grace. Without double dealings or duplicity in James 3 and 18. And here, this is interesting. With it, which is our mouths, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes the blessings and cursings, my brothers. These things ought not be so. Does a spring pour from the same mouth opening both fresh water and salt water? Of course not. Can't. So how can our mouths do that? Okay, it says, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives and grapevines produce figs? Neither can a salty pond yield fresh water. So when I think about that, especially when I'm talking about with each other, you know, how can you sit there and spew out this stuff and yet have the fresh waters of God's Word come out of it? You know, a lot of times I think about this, when I'm communicating with my wife, right? My wife, Lisa, so nobody knows who my wife is. But I will think about this. When I'm over there dealing with her and I'm angry or something, or my communication isn't what it should be, or I'm, you know, I'm spewing, as this would say, I stop and I think about this, right? Well, you know what? She is one of God's creatures. She is God's child. She's God's sister. And I tell you what, if somebody was talking to my child like that, what would I do? I would be upset. I would be mad. And that's what God would be at me, because that's a child of God. So you got to think about these things as you're doing communication with each other, is that communication is so important, that we're God's children. We are treating one of God's children in a way that is salty, not fresh. Think about that as we go through and we start working our communication plans with each other. And we have to be able to not do it both ways and expect the same result. We also have to do it with unity of the Spirit. What is unity of the Spirit? Let's take a look at 1 Peter 3 and 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. That's the only way to communicate. When you think about that, that is absolutely, especially with each other, that is the only way we can communicate. We don't want to be able to pray, and it goes on in verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. So when we communicate with others, specifically our brethren, we need to think about those things. How else do we communicate? How do we communicate with our families? How do we communicate with our spouse? How do we communicate with our children and our parents? Well, let's take a look at what God says about that. With our spouse, in 1 Peter 3 and 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. An understanding way. Show honor to the woman that is with your vessel, since you are all heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We must communicate with our spouses. You know, a lot of times you see this where people have been married. Wow, I've been married for 40 years. You wouldn't believe it. They don't even hardly talk to each other. There's no communication there. They're living with each other, and maybe in the upper room, and you're living down over in the other area here. That is not communication the way Christians must be able to communicate. When we communicate with our spouses, we need to be able to do it in an understanding way. How do you do it in an understanding way? To understand, you must communicate. You must be able to talk. You must be able to be timely in your communications with your spouse. How about with your children? Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's that thread of communication again, where you have to be able to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You know, with children, difficult situations, of course, you know, as they're small, you have a certain way to be able to communicate to them. As they start growing, you have to be able to change your ways as well. A lot of times you see parents that don't really change their ways. And they continue to communicate with their children, their grown children, in the same exact way. We as Christians must be able to focus on that and see, you know, how do we communicate with our children? How about with our parents? And that goes from the children to the parents, or us as adults to our parents as well. In Ephesians 6 and 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, which is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long you know, there's that thread again where the obedience is necessary. To obey, though, to have obedience, you have to be able to communicate. Communicate from a child to a parent, or vice versa. You know, think of it the same way as with God, our Father. It's the same thing. We have to be able to understand the relationship as it goes through there. Not exactly the same thing, of course, but it's very similar in the respect that's required. So, as Christians, we must be able to communicate with our families, which is spouses, children, and parents. How about when communication fails? Let's talk a little bit about that. We'll kind of shift gears a little bit. And we saw in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, when communication failed. In actuality, communication failed because of who? Because of the people? Not at the time. Communication was working well. In fact, it was working too well. They didn't want to leave. You know, so God said, okay, I will make communication fail. In that case, he brought confusion, division. He didn't bring disputes that I know of. But he talked about dispersing them throughout the area to be able to spread his word because they didn't want to do it. And also, they were also thinking of themselves as well. They were trying to build things for themselves. But disputes and division will also come when communication fails within the body of Christ or anywhere, actually. Now, let's look at that in 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 5. Disputes and division. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accords with the goodness, he is puffed up and he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for the controversy and the quarrels about the word, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil, suspicions, and constant friction among the people who are deprived in mind and deprived in truth, imagining the goodness is a means of gain. So here we have when communication fails, and the communication in this case is the teaching of the word. And when it differs from the doctrine itself, this is the kind of stuff that comes up. You have their division in the group itself, division from yourself, disputes within the group itself that all occur. Speaking with the same thing requires what? Listening. You have to be able to listen. Requires listening to God's word and to each other. When communication fails, we also have the potential ceases, the progress ceases, the productivity also ceases. Everything is disrupted. When you do that, we can see also in the Genesis 11 and 3, there's four verses, three, four, six, and eight, and I'll read these quickly. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and bitumen as mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower to the tops of the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. You know, here they did communicate, and they were very productive. The productivity that God did not want. God didn't want that to happen. So we can see that when communication is there, productivity is there, but when it fails, as God wanted it to, it spread them throughout there. They had their progress ended, their productivity ended, they were disrupted. That's a great example of what God can do when you disrupt communications. And if we disrupt communications in a negative way, the same thing happens to us. We end up doing the same thing. But we have, you know, unintentionally disrupted communications with the group. We have a couple good examples. We had a great example over in the Second Thessalonian letter as well, when the communication was wrong or was misinterpreted. Their work stopped. They didn't want to work anymore because they were waiting for the second coming. So Paul had to come and straighten out that communication disparity. We also see that work and common goals become more difficult without communications in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26. Let's read that. If one member suffers, then all together they suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and the individual members of it. We have, you know, this is a great communications example. a great communication is an example of our bodies on how it works together and how productive it is and how the progress works when it does work together as it needs it. Just take a for example, you know, sometimes we have medicines to block the communication area that all of a sudden we don't feel something and it could be tragic to us. You know, so that's a similar thing here where we can see the entire body working together as a communication tool to be able to have progress and productivity. But if we disrupt it, boom, we have problems. And also in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, it says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in everything unto Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together, every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow." So it'll build itself up in love. Here is a communication working at its very best, the body again. To be able, and that's what they associate that to what? The body of Christ. So that's exactly when we should be working together. So everything is held together in love. And we'll talk about that towards the end of the communication. So when communication fails, it also results in isolation. Isolation results in that. You know, think about this. When you have a disruption in the communication, kind of the example that I gave about the child and the relationships that they may have that's outside that is not favorable to Christianity. When you separate that, nobody knows what anybody's doing, right? You start having distrust, you have evil suspicions, you don't know who's talking to who. You know, in that case, oh yeah, that's an example of something that's good. However, if we have the same type of isolation here, let's say, for instance, we had a member of this group that that was hurt for some reason by a communication that they misinterpreted or was interpreted correctly, and they isolated themselves. What happens at that point? They don't ever communicate anymore. They'll fall away. They'll completely go to another group. They will not come to church again. All of those things are disrupted, and you know, they have distrust, evil suspicions. 1 Timothy 6 and 4 talks about that. It says that he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He is unhealthy, craving for controversy, quarrels about the word, communications again, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. They will be isolated. And that's one of the things that we have as Christians need to also be on the guard for is individuals who may have that communication that has communication failures in the same light. You're also exposed to more danger. You know, in Galatians 6 and 2, bear one another's burdens so you can fulfill the Christ of law. Why is that? Why do you want to bear other individuals' burdens? Two is better than one. If I go out and I fall, what can happen? There's nobody there to what? To pick me up. So that's why one of the other areas is that we have to be able to work together as a team so we won't be exposed to more dangers. Communicate. We have to be able to communicate to somebody. If you're out there yelling in the woods by yourself, who's going to hear that communication? Of course, nobody is. So we need to be able to ensure that we're not separating ourselves or dispersed over large areas as God did to the individuals in Babel. When communication fails, misunderstanding increases. When we won't listen or we haven't been heard, our heart hardens. We fail to understand in John 8 and 43. It says, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot hear my word." They're not listening. How many times have you been talking with somebody and you know they're not listening? They're not listening. That's one of the things that we talked about in the beginning. We have to be able to speak and we have to be able to listen just as well. It's a two-part communication. Misunderstanding increases when you can't listen. A lot of times, too, you have to just stop and sometimes just listen to people. See what they're saying. You may have a lot to say, but just stop and listen. If somebody else is, you're speaking to somebody and you're arguing in some way and the timing is not right and they're not listening, what do? You still continue to sit and spew out? No, you stop and wait for a different time until they can listen, because you don't want misunderstanding to increase, because that is a communication failure. And we can be on either end of that. 1 Peter, as it kind of follows on, 1 Peter 3 and 7, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. We've already talked about that. We must listen. We have to be able to understand. We must be able to listen. Some of the guidelines for successful communication. All right. We talked a lot about the failures. We talked a lot about the importance of it. How about some of the guidelines for successful communication? We need to be able to be careful to know how to listen. We have to be able to be careful to know how to speak. We have to be able to do it all in love. The most important part of that. You know, when it says be careful of how you listen, be careful of how you speak, a lot of times it's practice. It's absolute practice that we have to do as Christians. We need to be able to practice communications in both listening and speaking. I remember back when, it must have been maybe in the 30s, that's 30 or so, maybe even before that, I would practice communicating with people. And it, just like a plan, a communications plan. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this. I'm going to engage this individual. I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to come out with a solution or an end goal. And the same thing with listening. I am going to be a better listener. And that's something that we have to practice in doing. We have to be able to practice as Christians to be able to do that. You don't stop. We have to be careful. We have to know how to listen. We have to know how to speak. We have to know how to love always. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist in its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It is not it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It receives with truth. Love bears all. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You know, and if that's the case, if we continue to know that and live by that, I guarantee you our communications will be better. Not that it's not here, good here. Communications with the world as well will be better. Some guidelines for success that we need to continue to remember. We need to also do not take communications for granted. It doesn't just happen. Good communications, good listening skills, good Christian knowledge of what God wants does not just happen. We need to be able to commit time for that, just as I spoke earlier. We need to also put in effort, righteous motives. It requires an honest desire to be able to have the welfare of others. That is the bottom line, Proverbs. And that's what I'll leave us with, Proverbs 10 and 20. And it says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die with lack of sense. So how is our tongue? As we close, just think about that as we go through this week and even the new year. You know, how can we make our communications plan better? How can we understand what God says? How can we bring the word to other lost folks? How can we improve ourselves and make us stronger? We have to think about our communications. That's the message for tonight.